Brad is on the line. Hi, Brad. How you doing today?
Hey, Ryan. I am.
Yes, I am, and we are.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. You know, I think we need to get some cool music to introduce our podcast. I was listening to some other podcasts, and they have cool music, and we don't have any cool music.
What? Well, you're the producer.
What do you think would be a good song?
How about, I happen to hear an old recording of Les Paul playing Whispering.
Well, do you think we could actually pick something from this century?
I'm going on 80. What can I say?
Am I missing a vital spiritual step? I don't know, Brad. Because when I read your article, there's so much complex stuff in there. I'm confused. I've got a couple questions I need to ask you to find out if I'm missing that vital spiritual step.
I'm ready.
We're ready. Okay, so you start off the article, and you basically are supporting that there are physical systems that are required for success. Is that the case in the spiritual realm or not?
I would say, on one hand, yes. However, in my other hand, I'm holding a whole list of things that I say no. So.
You mean some things are absolute truths and require no system, and we can follow a system there, and some things are not, or...
I didn't make that statement. You did.
Okay, okay. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to put words in your mouth, President Nixon. But...
Let me be perfectly clear.
You did not say that. Well, some would say that everything is spiritual. It's a pretty strong statement, and you make it more than once in this article. And I just happen to hold that view myself. There's a particular phrase that I've heard many times before, and it's attractive to me, and it answers a lot of questions for me, and that is, as above, so below, which is a statement in many religious practices, and it supports everything is spiritual, and it supports what Mr. Bell is saying in his video and his explanation of everything is spiritual. So what's going on here? You're saying no, everything's not spiritual?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, and why do you say that?
No, I'm not saying that, okay? I'm really not saying that at all. What I am saying, and I made a point of it in an article, and you of all people, coming from where you have come from recently to a whole different point of view about a couple of things, this should resonate. You don't know squat, and neither do I. So anybody making a statement that everything is spiritual, and one of the reasons I brought up Rob Bell is everybody I've had watch that just thinks it's wonderful. I think he's very entertaining. He's certainly bright, and I wouldn't argue with him, but I can poke holes all over the place with what he's not even seeing or thinking of. That's not the issue. The whole thing that gave me revelation related to this whole issue is all of a sudden I saw something related to quantum mechanics, the quirky world of math that goes on that Einstein uncovered and couldn't even believe himself because it's so nuts, just proves what that astronomer said and that I pointed out in the article. A guy with more gray hair than I got, and I think he's in his 70s. He's been in astronomy for 50 years, works at some observatory in California as an adjunct to some college. I don't even remember now, but fascinating. But what he said was, everything that I've believed, it was very humble, everything I've believed for 50 years, all the, and it was based on the slides he was showing us from the Hubble telescope that's out in space, and just fantastic things. Pulsars and galaxies that they didn't even know existed 15 years ago. And so it's brought everybody, because of how some of the things that are proven, like the origin of the universe, as an example, his statement was, we don't know squat. And listening to Rob Bell, I would have to say, just based on my own fundamental knowledge, Rob, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know squat. Now, he's brighter, he's far more well-educated than I, but there's just some holes and some stuff that he lays out in fact that are bull. I don't want to get into any specifics. It doesn't make any difference. But if you want to, I'll answer.
No, that's okay. I don't think it matters. But I think the one key point that he's making in the YouTube video that I watched was that everything is spiritual. So what you're saying here is that everything, not everything is spiritual, or you just can't come to that firm conclusion because you don't know enough. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think so.
You need to let go of that conclusion. And you say here that you took a course in astronomy, physics, and quantum mechanics, and that helped you transcend a limiting definition. And are you talking, the limiting definition you're talking about, I want to be clear on this, is that everything is spiritual and astronomy helped you transcend that definition?
No.
Okay.
The limiting definition, I thought I made reference to, I guess I didn't do a very good job. It happens with me every now and then.
Okay. Where everything that can be seen by our physical eyes is physical, and everything that you can't see is spiritual?
Yeah.
That's the limiting... Okay, so how did astronomy help you transcend that?
Astronomy didn't, but quantum mechanics did, because quantum mechanics is the study of subatomic particles. It's the study of submicroscopic. You can't see it even with the aided eye, let alone the naked eye. Therefore, on a convenient and limited definition of spirit, which was stuff you can't see, that's spiritual. I used to write that all the time. My big qualifier, I would put it there on parenthetically, baloney. You can't see half the stuff that's running this universe. And it doesn't make it spiritual.
It doesn't make it spiritual?
No, it doesn't make it spiritual.
Oh, okay. So,
if you would go to physics as being physical or material objects in the universe that affect one another, gravity,
Newton,
that's if you quantify that, if you define that as being physical, then what doesn't have a gravitational pull, you might say, is spiritual. But that doesn't work out either. And that's why my mind was changed. My mind was changed because the mathematics that Newton's concepts are based on don't work in subatomic stuff, in quantum. They just don't work.
Okay, but the mathematics for quantum physics doesn't work either without the existence of 10 other dimensions.
Exactly.
Well, so boy, you talk about theoretical. You know, at least Newton's mathematics work on a simple level, on our level. Quantum physics mathematics, you have to make up 10 other dimensions just to make it work. Doesn't work.
Okay, now, I agree with you. I'm not disagreeing, but I want to open your mind, if I could, for a moment.
Okay.
My dear Ryan,
I'm willing to be open.
I want you to think of the fact that we didn't even know that atoms existed on a real level until Hiroshima blew up in our face. Then we said, oh, wait a minute, there is something to this atomic stuff. And that's all quantum. That's all crazy Einstein and his equations brought us the atomic bomb. And I wrote an article sometime. You printed it, you put the picture of this explosion.
Yep.
And I love it because you can't prove that. That's theory. That's the point I'm making. You can't. That's theory. Oh yeah. Well, take a look at the picture again. That ain't theory, bud. It took hundreds of thousands of people and blew them to smithereens.
You know, we don't live in Einstein's time anymore, and there are certain things which are factual and tangible and measurable and testable, and atomic structure is one of them. But what you're talking about is quantum, and that's smaller than atomic, and we don't have any testing mechanisms for that. Today, we may... 10 years from now, 5 years from now, I have no idea. But again, it requires the existence of another dimension.
Yeah, it does. In fact, the next article that you will get, if you haven't fired me by then, the next article you will get is one where I bring out something that theoretical physics professor at Stanford, Leonard Susskind, wrote, just, and it's beautiful. And so much of theories depend on having what he uses the term, and it's probably used wider than just him, but uses a multiverse, meaning that parallel universes, other dimensions is what you're introducing.
Sure, pop psychology uses it quite well too.
Yeah, well, my point is just this. What we all need a mind expansion so that we can break free and get loose from our preconceptions, particularly our religious preconceptions.
And so you're suggesting that science is a good source for that mind expansion?
I'm suggesting that certain things in science that people are trying to hang on to are just like religion, kind of things that mean nothing. And however, you've got some scientists on the cutting edge of the latest, using my visiting speaking astronomer as an example, who all of a sudden sees that everything he believed scientifically. Now, I love, there's a statement Einstein made about how scientists have a tendency to want to suckle at the teat of their past understanding, you know, like a child does at his mother's breast, and that they can't go anywhere. And to me, this was the guy that's probably one of the greatest minds in recent history. I know you just dashed him like you dashed me, saying, can't we come into this century?
So I'm kind of hearing you say that science as a whole has some of the same conditions that religion has, and that is people get stuck with certain belief systems, and instead of calling them beliefs in science, they call them theories.
Yeah, but so much of what we think of now is a theory, because that's what we've heard for 15 or 20 years, in the last 5 years has been proven, and it's not theory. Now, that goes on and on.
Well, then what you're saying is those theories are now theorem. It's no longer guesswork, it's actually fact.
I like that better.
So then, are you saying that science could use some spirituality and spirituality could use some science?
Maybe.
Maybe. One of the things that you say, and you're talking about our purpose on the website, is to help people return to the place from whence they came. That is, spirits who occupy these human body bags. I think that's a very interesting phrase, and I wonder if we could talk a little bit about that.
When you told me probably 2 months ago that is the purpose that had been revealed to you, for you, I glommed onto that immediately. I mean, wow, that is purpose. That's the ultimate. I wanted to get people just to go to Dad, just to go to the Creator and start interfacing and saying, wait a minute, if you're really real, and if you have any functionality in my life, I want to know it. And once I start going down that track and telling him, her, it, I want to sense him, her, its presence in my life, all of a sudden things began to happen that I have no explanation for, other than the fact that some people call me a healer, even though, you know, I disparage that remark because healing comes from the source. And yet I've learned some things about how to get into a place where I'm a vessel, or where I can watch Dad heal people. You know that. You know some of the stories, and I guess you've had a couple of experiences with people in the same realm.
I know some of the people too.
Okay.
So there's no question there. But spirits who occupy a human body bag, the phraseology there, it's kind of funny because we talk about helping people, or our desire is to lead them back to Dad. And how that happens for us is rejoining. And you describe it quite well here about being rejoined. And I'm wondering if we have to separate. And I guess I'm raising up this straw man again that you've been killing earlier on in the article. why we would have to separate the spirit from the body bag, right? Because one of the things that you and I maintain on this website is you don't have to die, which means you get to hold on to the body bag if you so choose.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, how does this relate to the quantum physics, astrology, and mind expansion expression that you're giving here?
And here's something I've never shared with anyone else, so this is brand new. You've never heard this from me before.
Okay.
And I don't even know what they call it. There's a whole part of quantum physics, quantum mechanics, that there's a parallel going on. There's particles over here that are influencing particles over there that formerly nobody thought there was any coexistence to, let alone having an effect, and it's apparent gravity on one hand or anti-gravity on another hand that you can't explain. But it's real. They've had these double slot experiments, and God, we're getting into areas here that are crazy, but in watching this stuff, it's like I told this instructor, and I said, you'll never know where I'm coming from, but part of my processes for helping people get past cancer and whatever else is that I've learned on a basic level how to get rid of the things that cause those illnesses at times. I'm not saying they're always, I'm not saying cancer is always caused by a spiritual entity, something we can't see, and an agent of the enemy is what Jesus kind of defines it as. But I said, this is what I'm seeing. These things that we can't see, and what it used to be a theory, now in your class, I'm watching in different films and experiments you had, here's this stuff going on in this, what I've always referred to as another dimension, you know, a parallel universe or whatever you want to call it. There's stuff going on that we can't see. Just like this table that my computer is sitting on has molecules that are moving all over the place. It can prove that, you know. I mean, it's not a solid state thing. We think what we think of as solid isn't. And therefore, if you want to use my previous definition, it's spiritual. And therefore, I would say everything is spiritual. But I don't look at it that way.
The beginning of the article, you start off with the title, Are You Missing a Vital Spiritual Step? And at the end of the article, you close it off with, The missing step to be rejoined with the one who created us is to declare, I'm coming home to you now.
So then the missing step, from what
I get from that, from reading that, is you and your action to rejoin.
Yeah, and when you say you, you're not referring to me, you're referring to everyone.
Everyone who chooses to rejoin. And that's the missing step, is the declaration, I'm coming home, right now.
Can I qualify that a little
bit? By all means.
The missing step often, I think I gave an example in our last podcast of the gal that had scoliosis, didn't I?
Yeah.
Okay, and she goes home and she's watching herself in the mirror while her husband is looking, and here this curvature of the spine that had been, I don't know how you quantify it, almost a half circle. It was really bent. But he's describing it, and it's quivering. And she's looking in the mirror. And I said, will you quit looking in the mirror and declare that it's healed? Because I saw in the spirit that was the missing link, and it is often. The example I gave on one podcast about the 15-year-old girl in Africa, same thing. You know, declare it, say it. You know, say it, because that's a deep part of the process. I don't understand it, but I know it's true because I've gone through it so many times with people. And so, and she did, and he did. They both did. They got off the phone and called me the next morning, and, oh, it's totally straight. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, it's the same thing. By using that and looking at that, all I'm doing is saying, hey, that's the missing link or the missing vital step in the process of healing. It's the same missing step in being reconnected with Dad. You finally get to the point where you say, wait a minute, I am connected. But you don't get to that point until you have realization. You have to start somewhere, and most people don't believe they're connected. You know?
Right. Quantum physics proves that they are connected, doesn't it?
Oh, does it big time?
Especially with your double slit experiment.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I want to encourage people to go to their Google browser and type in double slit experiment and read all the articles on the internet that clearly describe that what happens when an observer watches the direction of atoms as opposed to when an observer is not watching the atoms, and that as soon as the observer gets involved in the experiment, the atoms do something different. And that is your missing step, is to be involved in the experiment. And the experiment is getting rejoined.
Perfect. Per usual, I write the article, you publish it, and you already knew more than I thought I knew before I even started. This really irritates me, Brian. Why on earth do you publish my stuff? Doesn't make sense.
Well, I tend to not get it until we have these conversations. And then as we walk through, it's, oh, that's what you're trying to say. Okay, I get it. Because I think differently than you. I process differently than you. And some of your statements don't lead me to where I need to go. And that's why I think this podcast and conversation is good, is because not everybody thinks like you. Not everybody thinks like me. And hopefully we cover enough in our broad perspective to help other people get where they need to go. And that's back to Dad.
You know, I guess what's amazing to me is when you say that you don't think like me and you don't process like me, that you don't add, thank God. You
know. Now, vive la différence, my friend. Vive la différence. Hey, Brad, thanks for your time today. I really appreciate it, and I look forward to your next article. Hopefully, you don't hurt my brain with too much quantum physics. Good night.